This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
ولما جاء عيسى بالبينات قال قد جئتكم بالحكمة ولأبين لكم.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. The tafsir of Surah Al-Zalzalah, إذا زلزلت الأرض زلزالها. This is known as Surah Al-Zalzalah, and it's also known as by the beginning of the Surah, إذا زلزلت الأرض. So sometimes it's called the Surah إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضِ, and sometimes it's called Surah الزَّلْزَلَةِ. This Surah is a Surah which is Makkiyah, at least that appears to be Makkiyah. However, there is an opinion that it is Madaniyah. As for those who said it is Makkiyah, it's narrated from Ibn Abbas and Ibn Mas'ud and others, and it was the choice that Ibn Kathir mentioned. And the way Ibn Kathir mentioned it, he mentioned it like there's no other opinion. You know, he mentioned it with resolve, in a firm way. He said it's Makkiyah. However, there is a report from Ibn Abbas, Qatada, and others. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, Qatada rahimahullahu ta'ala, and others who said that it is Madaniyah. And Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best, but it appears to be Makkiyah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. As for the topic of the surah generally, then the topic of the surah is this earth and the people on it on the Day of Judgment. The earth and all the people who are on the earth, all the people who passed away until the Day of Judgment comes, what will happen to them Yawm al-Qiyamah? That's what the topic of the surah is. And like many of the small surahs in the Quran, the Qisar, Al-Mufassal, the small surahs in the Quran, it has one primary topic. Not all of them are like that, but many of them have one primary topic. إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا. First of all, this word zulzila or zalzala or zalzala, it has a repetition in it. You notice that the two letters that repeat it, zalzal, zal, zal, a, zalzala. That repetition is there to show you that the action itself will repeat. And of course, zilzal is the shaking of the earth, like the tremor which you have in an earthquake where the earth and the land shakes. But what we're told about it from the word zelzala is that it doesn't just happen one time. Zelzala, it keeps on shaking, it keeps on moving, and it is muttariba. It's not steady, it's shaky. And it keeps on moving, and this repeats itself again and again, like for a prolonged period of time. And that's what is called zalzala. So it's something that comes again and again. And what is this zalzala in reality? It's narrated from some of the companions radiallahu anhum that they said the earth will shake from below. In other words, instead of something shaking from above, or something is hitting the ground from above, like from the sky, and then the earth shakes, the earth will shake from min asfaliha, from underneath your feet. From underneath your feet, the earth will shake. And it will shake, and it will be unsteady, and it will move around, and it will happen repeatedly again and again. إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضِ. When the earth will be made to shake, when the earth will shake. إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضِ. here, the question that comes is, when is this event speaking about? Because either is something that tells us that it's something that's either zulzilat al-ard, when this is going to happen. The surah is going to talk about what is going to happen to the people when the earth is shaking like that and the earth is moving like that. What's going to happen to people? What's going to happen to people? So when is this going to be? The well-known opinion is that it's going to be with an-nafkhatul ula, the first blowing of the horn. And there are two blowings of the horn which will sound, or which will signal the coming of the Day of Judgment. And we know that the Prophet ﷺ told us that the angel with the horn has raised the horn, and his eyes remain fixed, waiting for a sign from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that's how close the Qiyamah is. When the horn is blown, it will be blown twice. وَنُفِخَ فِي الصُّورِ فَصَعِقَ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا مَنْ يَشَاءَ إِلَّا مَنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, that the horn will be blown, and everyone in the heavens and everyone in the earth will faint, except for those who Allah wills. ثُمَّ نُفِخَ فِيهِ أُخْرَى فَإِذَا هُمْ قِيَامٌ يَنْظُرُونَ. Then it will be blown again, and they will all be standing looking around. And between the two blowings of the horn, there are 40. And the hadith doesn't mention what that 40 is. Is it 40 days or 40 months or 40 years? And the mashhur is that it's 40 years, but from the point of view of the hadith, we don't have a clear evidence for that. Between the blowing of the two horns. So when the first horn is blown, there are people still alive on the earth. And many people, if not the majority of Bani Adam, but no doubt the majority of Bani Adam, will have passed away, and they will be in their graves, either in the pleasure and the bliss of the grave of the believer, or the punishment of the grave for the disbeliever and the disobedient Muslim, between those two. So when the first horn is blown, whoever is remaining on the earth, and nobody will remain except the worst of people, because we know that the hour will not come except upon the most evil of people. By that time, a wind will have come that will have taken away the life of every believer. So here, the hour will come when the actual horn is blown upon the worst of people. And when it happens, everyone on the earth will fall faint. And then between that blowing of the horn and the second blowing of the horn will be that period of 40. And then when the second blowing of the horn is blown, all those who are in the graves, from those who died from the time of Adam until those who died at the last moment when the horn was blown, all of them will be qiyamun yanzurun, standing up, looking around. So the well-known opinion about this, the zelzala, is that the zelzala is what will happen when the horn is blown the first time. And this is the opinion of Ibn Jarir, rahimahullahu ta'ala. However, some of the scholars mentioned that it is still possible that it could be also the second time or both of the times. There isn't anything to prove it or disprove it. It could also refer to the second time when the people clamber out from their graves. And the surah could be understood both ways. It can be understood that the first ayah is when the horn is first blown, and then the second ayah, وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا, is when the second horn is blown. And that's the well-known opinion, that the first ayah is when the first horn is blown, and the second ayah is when the second time the horn is blown. But it could also be different from that. We don't have a clear evidence, and Allah Azza wa Jal knows best. Either زُلْزِلَةِ الْأَرْضِ, when the earth is shaken, زِلْزَالَهَا. Now this word زِلْزَالَهَا, I'm not going to go too much into the Arabic grammar here, Because for me, if I talk about the verbal noun and things like that, I don't think that most people will understand the concept there. But there is something that I want you to take from the word. And that is that the word zilzalaha proves conclusively that it will be a real tremor of the earth, a real shaking, and the earth will really shake. And it's not like, because the word zelzala can be used for an extreme fear in someone's heart. It can be used for an extreme fear in someone's heart. So you could say that, you know, for example, about what Allah said about the believers. What Allah Azza wa Jal said about the believers, that they were shaken. Zulzilu, they were shaken. A severe shaking. But here, what it indicates here is that the zalzala here, zilzalaha, here is haqiqiyya. It's a real zalzala. And it's not like they were shaken with fear, or they were shaken with doubt, or they were shaken in their hearts. It's that the earth will truly shake in reality. إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا. And I just think that's important to note generally, that our basic principle when it comes to the ayat and the ahadith is that we take them as they come. We take them عَلَى ظَاهِرِهَا. We take them as they are apparent. And we don't need to go off into interpretations and ideas and kind of dreams and figurative concepts unless there is a clear evidence for doing so. Otherwise, we take the ayah as it came. And we're going to come to that in the second ayah also. So to begin with, إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا, when the earth is shaken with a shaking or with an earthquake or a tremor. And as we said here, this is when the horn is blown. وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا, and the earth brings out its أثقال. Its أثقال. So here, the earth brings out, or the earth throws out. So here, the earth is throwing out what was buried inside of it. And that seems to be the most generic way we can translate athqal, as all those things, because athqal, obviously the word comes, you have similar to the word thaqil, heavy or weighty, or like a burden. But here, athqal are all those things that are weighing down upon the earth. All those things that are buried in the earth. And that doesn't have to just mean the people in the graves, although that was the opinion of Ibn Jarir, and after him Ibn Kathir, rahimahumullah ta'ala, al-mawta. They said they are the dead people in the graves who will be thrown out of the graves and they'll be standing up on the earth. So the earth will push out, will throw out, will take out all of the people who had died that were buried on the earth. And even those that are not buried. Because that is a matter, that is something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do all things, and they will not escape Yawm al-Qiyamah because they were cremated, or because they were, they don't, their body has gone, you know, into the sea, or whatever it might be. So the earth will throw out, will bring out all of the burdens and the things that were buried inside of it. However, there's no reason why we have to limit this only to al-mawta, to the dead. We can also expand this right out to include even the kunuz, the buried treasures, the things that were hidden within the earth. Maybe even, you know, whatever it might be, we talk about, you know, the mass graves of the places where people were killed, where people didn't know they were buried, all of the secrets and the things that were hidden within the earth. It's certainly no particular reason why we shouldn't include that also, even though no doubt the primary meaning is al-mawta, the dead people that will be brought out. But the earth will bring out all of the things. Nothing will be hidden. Nothing will be concealed. Nothing will be lost. And so the earth will bring out everything that was within it. This zalzala, this shaking, which is mentioned here, and this bringing out, are both mentioned elsewhere in the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ اتَّقُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّ زَلْزَلَةَ السَّاعَةِ شَيْءٌ عَظِيمٌ. O mankind, have taqwa of your Lord. The shaking of the hour is something great, i.e. something severe. And as we know from the following ayat in Surah Al-Hajj, it will cause the pregnant woman to miscarry her baby. She will miscarry her baby. And it will cause the woman who is feeding her child to drop her child. And you will see the people, تَرَى النَّاسَ سُكَارَى وَمَا هُمْ بِسُكَارَى. You will see the people as though they are drunk, but they are not drunk. You will see the people walking as though they are drunk, as though they are. And subhanAllah, many of us have seen people like that. Certainly living in the West, you've seen somebody who's completely drunk, like walking around, doesn't know where they are, falling over on the street, standing up again, falling over again. But the thing that's making them like that, it's not alcohol. It's the severity. وَلَكِنَّ عَذَابَ اللَّهِ شَدِيدٌ. But the punishment of Allah is severe. It's the punishment of Allah that is making the person behave like that. From the severity of the punishment of Allah, they are behaving as though they are drunk. And as for the bringing out of the earth, this is also mentioned elsewhere in the Quran. وَأَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا وَتَخَلَّتْ وَأَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا وَتَخَلَّتْ. In Surah Al-Inshiqaq, if I'm not mistaken, that the earth will alqat ma fiha, it will, everything that's in it, it will throw it out. Alqat ma fiha, it will bring it out. Wa akhrajati al-ardu athqalaha. As for the word athqal, there's also something we can bring in here. The ayah in Surah Al-Rahman, sanafrughu lakum أيها الثقلان. أيها الثقلان here refers to the jinn and the men. فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان, as is the theme of the surah. Which of the ayat of Allah do you jinn and men both deny? So the jinn and the men can be referred to as الثقلان, the two species, the jinn and the men. سنفرغ لكم أيها الثقلان. So here the ثقلان, being the jinn and the men, also brings back to أثقالها, that the jinn and the men that are within the earth, Allah Azza wa Jalla will cause the earth to spit them all out, to just throw them all out. وَأَلْقَتْ مَا فِيهَا وَتَخَلَّتْ وَأَذِنَتْ لِرَبِّهَا وَحُقَّتْ وَأَخْرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا. Why is the word al-ard mentioned here again? Because generally in Arabic, once you've mentioned the subject, you don't need to then mention it again. إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا. You could simply say, in normal speech, وَأَخْرَجَتْ أَثْقَالَهَا. It would be, you know, there's no change of subject, it's the same topic. But here, the word here, it's mentioned very deliberately. It's mentioned deliberately to give emphasis to it. That's why it's mentioned the second time. Otherwise, generally in Arabic, the subject isn't usually mentioned every time that the verb is mentioned. After that, you would use it or he or she, as probably you would in English as well. Like you would say, for example, Muhammad said, and then in the second sentence, he said. It's unlikely you would keep on repeating the name of the subject. Muhammad said, Muhammad said, Muhammad said. And if you did that, it's for the emphasis. It's to emphasize. And that's what it is here. Al-ard here is to emphasize that everything that is within the earth, it will be brought out. All of the secrets that are within the earth, all of the people, from the jinn, from the men, all of the things that were concealed within the earth will be brought out. And that's a major theme of the surah, which is the hidden things being exposed. And I believe this is one of the themes of the surah that you can really point to, that the the hidden things and the secrets being exposed يوم القيامة. وقال الإنسان ما لها. And mankind will say, what's wrong with it? What's the matter with this earth? And this is because this shock from mankind, and either this refers to النفخة الأولى or الثانية, either the first blowing in the horn or the second blowing of the horn. If it's the first blowing of the horn, then the people on the earth who experienced the blowing of the horn and this, the hour coming, they will say, مَا لَهَا, what's the matter with the earth? We've never seen the earth ever behave like this before. Or when the people are raised from the graves and the earth is shaking, they will say, مَا لَهَا, what's the matter with the earth that it's shaking like this? The earth, because this اضطراب, this shaking and being unsteady is not something that they are familiar with on the earth. Generally, what we know about the earth is the earth, you know, الاستقرار, the earth is stable. And yes, we have earthquakes, but generally speaking, the earth is generally stable. And for you to find the whole earth from the top to the bottom, the whole of the land shaking in that way, it's not usual. So the man or mankind says, مَا لَهَا, what's the matter with this earth? What's happening to this earth that is shaking like this? We knew it to be stable. We knew it to be steady under our feet. And now they can't stand up on it. It's shaking. And it's throwing out what is within it. يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا. On that day, the earth... Here the word earth isn't mentioned a third time. On that day, it will tell its news. It will inform, or it will speak of its news. Now, here again, we want to highlight here that the meaning of يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ is that it will speak in حقيقة, in reality. It's not the case that it will just like some of the scholars said, some of the people of knowledge, they said this, it will not speak, but it will just bring out the bodies and bring out the treasure and bring out the things that were stolen and bring out, you know, it will speak by its actions. But that's not the case, because many, many times we are told about the earth speaking and the mountains and the trees and the stones and so on. And there are many ahadith in this regard in different times. So there's no reason for us to make this a metaphorical thing. There's no reason for us to say that this is all, this is just the earth throwing out what was within it. There's no reason for us to say that. Rather, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ, it will speak, تُحَدِّثُ. It will speak of its akhbar, its news. Now, as for its news, there is a hadith. The hadith is in At-Tirmidhi and Ahmed. And the hadith is a clear explanation of the ayah, except the hadith has some weakness in it. And some of the scholars said it's hasan. So I'll quote you the hadith, because that, the tafsir, no doubt, from it is correct, without a shadow of a doubt. But the question is the hadith, does it reach the level of being authentic or not? And many of the scholars said it doesn't quite reach that level. In this hadith, it's said that the Prophet ﷺ said, أَتَدُرُونَ مَا أَخْبَارُهَا, أَتَدَرُونَ مَا أَخْبَارُهَا, do you know what the news of the earth is? Do you know what this means? يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا, do you know what it means? قَالُوا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَعْلَمُ, they said Allah and His Messenger know best. And I think I mentioned this before, but I'll mention it again, that whenever you hear the phrase Allah and His Messenger know best, this isn't equating the knowledge of the Prophet ﷺ with Allah. It's not saying that Allah and the Prophet are the same, or that Allah and the Prophet both know the answer to everything. That's not the case. Rather, what this is saying is, it's said after revelation is given to the Prophet ﷺ. Meaning the Prophet ﷺ said, أَتَدَرُونَ مَا أَخْبَارُهَا, do you know what the news of this earth is? Now, clearly when he said that, he had revelation from Allah. He wouldn't have asked that question and then said, I don't know either. أَتَدَرُونَ مَا أَخْبَارُهَا, and then said, لا أدري. I don't know. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, that was not his, the way that he was. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he would have clearly known the answer that Allah had revealed to him before he asked that question. So once he's asked that question, the Sahaba know that Allah has revealed the answer to him. So they say, Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam. Allah and his messenger know best, meaning Allah knows best from his infinite knowledge, and the messenger knows best because Allah has given him the answer. That's what it means, Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam. قال فإن أخبارها أن تشهد على كل عبد وأمة بما عمل على ظهرها أن تقول عمل كذا وكذا يوم كذا وكذا فهذه أخبارها. It said that the Prophet ﷺ said, its news is that it will bear witness against every male and female servant, every male and female servant of Allah, every person that did anything on the surface of the earth. It will say, this person did such and such and such and such on this day and that day. This is its news. As for the tafsir of the ayah being this, I think there is no doubt. There is no doubt at all that this is the tafsir of the ayah. The doubt is only, is the hadith, is it authentic as a hadith? If it's authentic as a hadith, we don't have another tafsir. We have the tafsir the Prophet ﷺ gave, and that's it. If it's authentic as a hadith, we don't have anything further to add. But the hadith has some weakness in it. But the actual content of it, there is no doubt this is the meaning, that the earth will bear witness to the things that were done on its surface. The earth will inform of what happened on its surface. And subhanAllah, this is something, wallahi, when you think about it, if it should really affect a person. It really should affect a person. If that person has a heart that is, you know, that is soft, that is thinking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that a person, how many things we do, we think we ran away from everyone, we're doing it in private. How people are. They go and they do a sin, and maybe they drive far away, or they walk far away, and they go into a place where nobody can see them, or they go into a room where nobody can see them, or they go with somebody they shouldn't be with, and they go to a faraway place where nobody can see them. SubhanAllah, nobody can see them. There's a crowd that can see them. The angels see them. The one who is writing down on the right shoulder and the left shoulder sees them. The earth sees them and will witness what they did Yawm al-Qiyamah. Above all of that, Allah Jalla fi'ula, Allah exalted in His highness, sees them. SubhanAllah, they think that they're alone. And how, not only is it that Allah sees them, rather Allah sees them, and the angels see them, and the earth sees them, and their hands see them, and their arms and their legs see them, and all of them, Yawm al-Qiyamah, will give a witness to what they did. So it just makes you really think that you're not ever alone. You're not alone. Allah always sees you, and we know that. You know, and we try to strive for ihsan and ta'abud Allah ka'annaka tara fa'in lam takun tarahu fa'innahu yarak. You worship Allah as though you can see Him, and even though you can't see Him, you know that He sees you. But it kind of feels abstract, right? It kind of feels like it's difficult for a person to always keep that in mind. But when you think that, subhanAllah, the earth will testify to what you did. The earth will bear witness to what you did. Your hands, your feet will bear witness to what you did. The angels on your right and left will bear witness to what you did. And above all of that, Allah will bear witness. And وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا, Allah is enough of a witness. How can a person after that ever feel like they are alone and safe from anything happening to them, or safe from anyone knowing what they do? So people complain, as I said, people complain about the, you know, CCTV is watching me, and people are watching me, and spies are watching me, and the government's watching me. And wallah, before all of that, ya ikhwani, before you think about any of that, before all of that, say Allah is watching me. And then say that Allah has given the ability for the angels to testify, for the earth to testify, for my hands to testify, for my eyes to testify, for my feet to testify against me. The ground that I walk on will bear witness against me. Before you worry about a CCTV camera that sees what you do, think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees what you do. So to the extent that the earth is going to give a witness to what was done on it, to all the people and what they did and where they went and what they said, what they did, where they, you know, all the things they did on the surface of the earth. يَوْمَ إِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا. How will the earth be able to do that? When it's only earth, it's jamida, it's not alive, it doesn't have a brain, it's just a solid, you know, piece of earth. How will the earth testify? بِأَنَّ رَبَّكَ أَوْحَى لَهَا. Because the Lord of that earth, the Lord of that earth has revealed to it. Now here we have a lot of things to talk about. We have a lot of things to talk about. And on this, بِأَنَّ رَبَّكَ أَوْحَى لَهَا. First of all, what does the ba here mean? بِأَنَّ. Some of the scholars, they said the بِأَنَّ, it means because, بِسَبَب. That the earth will speak its news. I will inform about all the things that were done on it. Because your Lord inspired it. Or because your Lord commanded it. We're going to come to that in a minute. And it said that the ba here refers to it being by the command of Allah or by the permission of Allah. Because Allah gave the permission for it to do so. Or because Allah commanded it to do so. And these meanings are not very far away. So what does awha laha mean? The word awha, it comes from al-wahi. It comes from wahi. And wahi is revelation, right? But the word wahi has lots of meanings in Arabic apart from revelation. So it can mean al-ishara. It can mean to signal. It can mean to signal. We have an example of that from the Quran. فَخَرَجَ عَلَى قَوْمِهِ مِنَ الْمِحْرَابِ فَأَوْحَى إِلَيْهِمْ. That Zakariya came out to his people from the mihrab, the private area of worship. فَأَوْحَى إِلَيْهِمْ. He wasn't allowed to speak, remember, because his sign was أَنْ لَا تُكَلِّمَ النَّاسِ. Not to speak to the people. ثَلَاثَ لَيَالٍ سَوِيَّ. For 3 full nights, or ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامٍ إِلَّا رَمْزَ in Surah Ali Imran. First one is Surah Maryam. So Zakariya was told he was not allowed to speak. He had to refrain from speaking. فَأَوْحَى إِلَيْهِمْ. He signaled to them. He made signs to them. He signaled to them. And so signaling can be called wahi. Likewise, commanding someone can be called wahi. And likewise, inspiring. يُوحِي بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ زُخْرُفَ الْقَوْلِ غُرُورًا كَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍّ عَدُوًا شَيَاطِينَ الْإِنسِ وَالْجِنِّ يُوحِي بَعْضُهُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ زُخْرُفَ الْقَوْلِ غُرُورًا. Likewise, we inspired to, or likewise we made for every prophet enemies, shaytan, from the jinn and the men who inspire each other. They inspire each other. So those jinn and those men, they give each other wahi. They don't give each other revelation. They're not reciting the Quran. They're not transmitting the Quran from Allah or the speech of Allah. It's not revelation. It's wahi as in inspiration. They inspire. They inspire. And as we said, it can mean to command. And there are many different meanings of the word wahi here. So the meaning of the word wahi is not that Allah Azza wa Jal, it's not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave revelation to the earth, as in sent down a book or a scripture to the earth. But what it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, either He commanded or he inspired the earth. And that is also indicated by the word laha, bi anna rabbak, by the fact that your Lord awha laha. Because the usual word that comes with wahi is ila, ila, ila. So we usually say, for example, awha ilayha, and not awha laha. So the laha here, there are different interpretations of it, which are all similar. From them are those who, like Al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, he said that there is no difference between laha and ilayha. But for those who said that there is a difference, what they said is that the laha means adina laha, or amara, amaraha, or amara laha. That adina laha, Allah gave permission. So Allah Azza wa Jal inspired the earth to be able to do this. Allah commanded the earth to be able to do this, and Allah gave permission to the earth to be able to do this. So it is mentioned also that some of the people of knowledge, they said that it is, and perhaps some of the companions, if I'm not mistaken, that they said that it is that the earth will say, that Allah will say to the earth, Quli. Allah will say to the earth, speak. Quli, say what you have to say. And then the earth will be able to say. So the point we want to take from the ayah is that the earth's ability to do that is given to it by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah Azza wa Jal will say to the earth, speak. And it's not a hadith, but generally speaking, that Allah will command the earth to speak, or Allah will give permission for the earth to speak, and Allah will inspire the earth by giving it the ability to speak all about what was done on the surface of the earth when the people were roaming upon that earth. يَوْمَئِذٍ يَصْدُرُ النَّاسُ أَشْتَاتًا لِيُرَوْا أَعْمَالَهُمْ. On that day, يَصْدُرُ النَّاسُ, يَسْتُرْ النَّاسِ. Here, يَسْتُرْ, what it means is, it's the opposite of الْوُرُود. So it means يَرْجِعُ, or it means they will come back. الرُّجُوعُ, they will come back. So this ayat is not telling you about what will happen when the people go for the judgment, but it's telling you what will happen when the people will come back from having been judged. يَوْمَئِذٍ يَصْدُرُ النَّاسِ. On that day, the people will return back. This is after the hisab, after their judgment, after their matter has been decided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَوْمَئِذٍ يَصْدُرُ النَّاسِ. On that day, the people will return. So we know a lot about the people going, and they will run from prophet to prophet, and finally the Prophet ﷺ will intercede, and we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how He will judge the people, and we know about the weighing of the deeds, and we know about the scales, and all of the things, yawm al-qiyamah, that will happen. But this ayah tells us what will happen when it's done. يَسْتُرُ النَّاسِ يَرْجِعُ النَّاسِ. The people are coming back. The people are coming back now. After their account has been made, they're going to come back. يَوْمَئِذٍ يَصْدُرُ النَّاسِ أَشْتَاتَ. The people will come back أَشْتَاتَ. أَشْتَاتَ. And the meaning of أَشْتَاتَ is they will come back أَنْوَاعَ. Different types of people. فَرِيقٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَفَرِيقٌ فِي السَّعِيرِ. A group of them will come back going towards Jannah. A group of them will come back going to Jahannam. A group of them will come back saying, هَاُ مُقَرَاءُ كِتَابِيَ. A group of them will come back saying, هَاُ مُقَرَاءُ كِتَابِيَ. Go and read my book. إِنِّي ظَنَنْتُ أَنِّي مُلَاقٍ حِسَابِي. I'm sure that I'm going to meet my account. فَهُوَ فِي عِيشَةٍ رَاضِيَةٍ فِي جَنَّةٍ عَالِيَةٍ he will be so happy in such a content life in paradise. Some people will come back devastated. لِيَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أُوتَ كِتَابِيَ. How I wish I was never given my book. وَمَا أَدْرِ مَا حِسَابِيَ. And I never knew what my account was going to be. يَا لَيْتَهَا كَانَتِ الْقَاضِيَةِ. How I wish this was the end of my life and I could just die and just be dust. Like when the kafir will say, يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا. I wish I could just be dust. Look at the difference between that and that. فَرِيقٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ وَفَرِيقٌ فِي السَّعِيرِ. A people in paradise and a party in the fire. Look at the difference between them and them. Between him and him. Between her and her. أَشْتَاتًا. Each of them, different groups. أَشْتَاتًا. Separated between them. مَصَادِرَ شَتَّى. They'll come back to very different places. Some of them will come back on that last journey from being judged to be driven into Jahannam as a group, like to be pulled into Jahannam on their faces, to be dragged into Jahannam on their faces, with the angels beating them and saying ذُوقُوا عَذَابٍ. To say, taste the punishment of Allah. ذُوقُوا عَذَابِ الْحَرِيقِ. Taste the burning punishment. And a group will be brought to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a delegation. يَوْمَ نَحْشُرُ الْمُتَّقِينَ إِلَى الرَّحْمَنِ وَفْتَى. On the day when we're going to gather the righteous people, the people of taqwa, together as a delegation before Ar-Rahman, the Most Merciful. Look at the difference between them and them. Look at the difference between them and them. Ashtata, complete separation. Fariqun fil Jannah wa fariqun fil Sa'ir. A party in paradise and a party in the fire. Liyuraw a'malahum. Liyuraw a'malahum. In order that they see their deeds. But here, if it's talking about the ruju', the coming back, if Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling us about what will happen when those people come back, then how is it that they will see their deeds at that time? Isn't it that they've seen their deeds before that and now they're seeing the outcome of their deeds? No, that's not the case. Here, what is intended is the jaza. What's intended is the jaza, the reward, the recompense. The recompense, that's what's intended here. They will see what their deeds led them to. They will see the outcome of their deeds. They will see the recompense of their deeds. It's not that they will see that they've seen their deeds, they've read their book, but now they will see what those deeds led them to. And that's the reality of when you see your deeds. يَوْمَئِذٍ يَصْدُرُ النَّاسُ أَشْتَاتًا لِيُرَوْا أَعْمَالَهُمْ. Each one of them will see what their deeds really produced. Will see the fruits, the thamara of their deeds, the jaza of their deeds, the recompense of their deeds, what was the outcome of their deeds. That's what they're going to see. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. This ayah, or these two ayat, there is a truly amazing tafsir of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the hadiths in Sahih Muslim, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned this, and he called this ayah ayatun jami'atun fadha. It's an ayah that is comprehensive. It's an ayah that is comprehensive, and it is unique. It's a single, unique, comprehensive ayah. And I'm going to read part of the hadith to you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Al-khaylu ma'qudun fi nawasiha." Qala Suhail, "Ana ashukku al-khayru ila yawm al-qiyamah." The Prophet ﷺ said, the horse, its forelock, being when the horse is reined, the horse has its reins and has its it's being taken, it's being guided by the reins. There will be good in this until the day of resurrection. There will be khair in this ila yawm al-qiyamah, i.e. the horses that are prepared for fighting for the sake of Allah. And we already spoke about them in which surah? Which surah did we speak about the horses that are prepared for fighting for Allah? Surah? Al-Adiyat. Wal-Adiyati tabaha. The Prophet ﷺ said there will be good in them until yawm al-qiyamah. He said, Al-khaylu thalathatun. فَهِيَ لِلْرَّجُلِ أَجَرٌ وَلِلْرَّجُلِ سِتْرٌ فَهِيَ لِرَجُلٍ أَجْرٌ وَلِرَجُلٍ سِتْرٌ وَلِرَجُلٍ وِزْرٌ. The horse will be three things to a man. The horse will be three things to a man. It will either be a reward or a covering or a burden, like a punishment. فَأَمَّا الَّتِي هِيَ لَهُ أَجْرٌ. As for the one who will be rewarded for their horse, فَالرَّجُلُ يَتَّخِذُهَا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَيُعِدُّهَا لَهُ فَلَا. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, I'll translate bit by bit. He said, it is the man who takes that horse for the sake of Allah, i.e. for fighting for the sake of Allah, and he prepares and trains that horse for that purpose. Then the Prophet ﷺ, he said, فَلَا تُغَيِّبُ شَيْئًا فِي بُطُونِهَا إِلَّا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ أَجْرًا. He said, nothing goes into the stomach of that horse except that Allah Azza wa Jal writes a reward for the owner of that horse. وَلَوْ رَعَاهَا فِي مَرْجٍ مَا أَكَلَتْ مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِهَا أَجْرًا. Even if the horse is grazing in the meadow, everything, little thing that it eats, and the horse eats all the time, right? The horse is always grazing from the grass. Everything the horse eats is going to get a reward. That person is going to be rewarded for everything he eats in the meadow. وَلَوْ سَقَاهَا مِن نَهْرٍ كَانَ لَهُ بِكُلِّ قَطْرَةٍ تُغَيِّبُهَا فِي بُطُونِهَا أَجْرٌ. He said, even if he takes his horse to a river, not even talking about him, we're not even talking about him with the horse, we're not talking about him bringing a bucket of water. He takes the horse to the river, and the river is there, and there is no hardship for the person. And the horse drinks from the river. Every single drop that the horse drinks from the river, that person will have a reward for every drop that enters the stomach of that horse. Every single drop that enters the stomach of that horse, he will have a reward for it. وَلَوْ اسْتَنَّتْ شَرَفًا أَوْ شَرَفَيْنِ كُتِبَ لَهُ بِكُلِّ خَطْوَةٍ تَخْطُوهَا أَجْرٍ. And if that horse is made to run like a length, I don't know if you call it a furlong or something, like you make that horse run a length and then run back again another length, or the horse goes up on top of a high place, every step that that horse takes, he will receive a reward for it. وَأَمَّا الَّذِي هِيَ لَهُ سِتْرٌ. As for the one that this is a covering for them, فَالرَّجُلُ يَتَّخِذُهَا تَكَرُّمًا وَتَجَمُّلًا وَلَا يَنْسَى حَقَّ ظُهُورِهَا وَبُطُونِهَا فِي عُسْرِهَا وَيُسْرِهَا. He said, as for the man that the horse is not a reward for him, but it's a covering for him. And it's he doesn't get punished, he doesn't get rewarded, but it's a good thing. I mean, it's a good thing for him, it's okay for him. This person is the person who takes the horse because it's a noble thing to have, it's a beautiful thing to have, and it's tajammul, yani it's something beautiful, something noble. And he doesn't forget its right, on its back or its stomach, meaning he doesn't put too much on its back and he doesn't give it too little to eat. So he gives it adequate food and he doesn't overload the horse or overwork the horse on its back. Whether it's hard or easy, i.e. whether the horse is behaving badly or well, or whether he's in a time of riches or poverty, no matter what the situation is, he's good to the horse. He doesn't put too much on the horse's back and he doesn't neglect to feed the horse and give it water to drink. That person, it's a covering for him. Alhamdulillah, he did a good thing. He did good for the horse. He did good for himself. But it's not the reward that the first one got. وَأَمَّا الَّذِي عَلَيْهِ وِزْرٌ. As for the one that is going to have a burden, like a punishment, a sin. فَالَّذِي يَتَّخِذُهَا أَشْرًا وَبَطَرًا وَبَذَخَ وَرِيَاءَ النَّاسِ. The one who takes it in vain and glory and showing off in front of the people. فَذَاكَ الَّذِي هِيَ عَلَيْهِ وِزْرٌ. For that person, that horse will be a sin for them, a burden for them, that he uses it to show off in front of people and to show off how much money he has and to show how good he is and for his own glory and for his own vanity, then this person will earn a sin by that. Now we come to the purpose of the hadith in relation to the ayah. The Prophet ﷺ said, or was said to him, قَالُوا فَالْحُمُرُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. What about the donkey or messenger of Allah? Because the donkey could be, I mean, you wouldn't ride it in war, but what if someone carried the goods for the war on the donkey? Or what if someone kept it, they couldn't afford a horse, but they kept a donkey and they used it for transporting the goods for the army or for bringing the food to the Muslims or whatever it might be. They used it for some good. Will they also be rewarded for the donkey or messenger of Allah? قال ما أنزل الله علي فيها شيئا. He said, Allah didn't reveal anything to me about the donkey specifically. إلا هذه الآية الجامعة الفاتحة. Except for this one comprehensive ayah. فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره. Whoever sees or whoever does an atom's weight of good will see it. And whoever does an atom's weight of evil will see it. So the Prophet ﷺ explained this ayah is jami'ah. It covers everything. So we ask, is there an ayah about the donkeys that carry the food to the needy Muslims? There's not an ayah about that. فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. Whoever does an atom's weight of good will see it. Whoever does an atom's weight of evil will see it. This ayah covers everything, no matter how small it is, no matter how big it is. And that covers the good deeds and it covers the sins. As for the good deeds, then we have the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا ولو أن تلقى أخاك بوجه طلق. Don't look down or belittle any good deed, even if it is meeting your brother with a smiling face. What's smiling at your brother? What can that be worth to me يوم القيامة? Is that going to be the thing that can put me into الفردوس الأعلى يوم القيامة? Is just a smile to my brother? فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خَيْرًا يَرَهُ. Whoever does even an atom's worth of good, you will see that good that you've done. You'll see the outcome. You'll see the benefit of that good that you did. Even if it's meeting your brother with a smiling face. Likewise, the Prophet ﷺ said, اتَّقُوا النَّارَ وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمْرَةٍ وَلَوْ بِكَلِمَةٍ طَيِّبَةٍ. Fear the fire, protect yourself from the fire, even if it is only with half a date, even if it is only with a good word. Half a date, who can't find half a date? half a date. And if you think half a date, Aisha radiallahu anha, she once gave a grape in sadaqah radiallahu anha. She gave a grape, not a bunch of grapes. She gave one grape. One grape. That's what she had to give in sadaqah. And knowing our mother Aisha radiallahu anha, maybe she didn't have anything to eat. And she only found for herself. She gave one grape. And she said, وَقَالَتْ كَمْ فِيهَا مِنْ مِثْقَالِ ذَرَّةِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهَا وَأَرْضَاهَا. She said, how many atoms weights are inside of there? How much mithqal dharra? You can call it atoms weight, you can call it a tiny speck, weight of a tiny speck. In any case, whatever the term you want to call it, how many mithqal dharra are inside of that grape? Subhanallah. Makes you change your whole perspective on sadaqah. Your whole mind on sadaqah completely changes, because before you would say, well, a pound, what's that going to do for anyone? لا يسمن ولا يغني من جوع. It's not going to give him any food and it's not going to relieve his hunger. It's not going to do anything. It's pointless. How many atoms are inside of that pound? فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَهُ. If you do even an atom's worth of good, you will see it. If you do even a speck, the tiny, mithqal dharra, it just means the tiniest thing. And then think how sensitive the scales are yawm al-qiyamah. You know, sometimes you imagine how the scales would be yawm al-qiyamah. You think about the scales yawm al-qiyamah and you think, subhanallah. You know, you imagine great big scales to weigh people, to weigh deeds. What's the most, the tiniest scale that you have in this world, right? It's like the scale of the jeweler. They say that if you want to, you know, when you do the aqiqah, you shave the baby's head and you measure the baby's hair on the jeweler's scales, the scales of the jeweler, they're where they measure like tiny, tiny amounts. That scale of the jeweler doesn't measure atoms. It doesn't measure atoms' weight. It measures quite big things, and that's like a sensitive scale. Yawm al-Qiyamah, how huge that scale will be, and Allah only knows what it will look like and what it's like, except that it will have two pans. You know the pans of the scale, two pans, so that it can be balanced. Kiffatan, any two pans, or two of the pans, they call them the pans on the scales. It will have two of them. But how sensitive must it be that even mithqal dharra, an atom's weight can tip your scale to Jannah, and an atom's weight can tip your scale to Al-Jaheem wal-Iyadhu Billah. And that brings us to another hadith. That's why we're talking about Aisha giving a grape. And subhanAllah, it's like it's an amazing story, but there's a hadith, in Musnad al-Imam Ahmad from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu. He said, be careful and keep away from the sins that you think are insignificant. We said, لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا. Don't look down on any good deed. يوم القيامة, it might be that atom that tips the scales for you for Jannah. It might be that one tiny thing you did that tips the scales for Jannah. But likewise, don't ever think about the sins that you think it's just an atom's weight. It's nothing. فَإِنَّهَا يَجْتَمِعْنَ عَلَى الرَّجُلِ حَتَّى يُهْلِكَ. He said that they gather together around a man until they destroy him. You know, it's like they talk about death by a thousand cuts, meaning the person didn't get struck with a sword. He just got cut a thousand tiny, tiny little cuts, until he died from those thousand cuts, the same way that a person would die if he was struck with a big sword. That's the same thing here. That the person, it's qarat al-dhunub, like it's nothing, it's just an insignificant thing. Very small sin, no big deal. It's not even a major sin, it's just a small sin. Because they will gather around a person until they destroy him. وَإِنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ ضَرَبَ لَهَا مَثَلًا. The Prophet ﷺ gave you an example. كَمَثَلِ قَوْمٍ نَزَلُوا بِأَرْضِ فَلَهُ. Like a people who they arrived in a barren land. فَحَضَرَ صَنِيعُ الْقَوْمِ. Then the food of the people was brought. The raw food, it needs to be cooked, right? So the raw food was brought. فَجَعَلَ الرَّجُلُ يَنْطَلِقُ فَيَجِيءُ بِالْعُودِ وَالرَّجُلُ يَجِيءُ بِالْعُودِ. Then the men, they all go out and they go separately, and one brings a tiny twig, then the next one brings a twig, then another one comes and brings a twig. Hatta jama'u sawadan, hatta jama'u sawada, hatta jama'u sawada, until they have brought a huge pile, until they brought a huge pile. And that huge pile, they made it naran. They made it into a burning fire. They made it into وَأَجَّجُوا نَارًا. And they set it. They set a burning fire. And they burnt, or they roasted. They roasted وَأَنْضَجُوا مَا قَذَفُوا فِيهَا. They roasted what they threw into it. Imagine that. They brought their food and they need to cook their food, and everyone just goes and brings one little twig, and that twig gets thrown, and another twig gets thrown, and another twig gets thrown, and another one, until they have a big fire that roasts everything that they put into it. And that's the example of the small evil deeds, the tiny little small evil deeds that a person does. They don't even think anything about it. They don't even take it seriously, or they don't even consider it to be something important, but they just see it as insignificant, small deed. وَمَن يَعْمَل مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَهُ. But every mustard seed weight, every atom, every speck of evil that a person does, they will see what will happen to them. They will see the recompense of it. So the ayah gives you immense hope, but it also gives you immense fear as well. Become very, very scared. And it's ayah jami'ah, it covers everything. And that's why Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar, rahimahullah ta'ala, he has some beautiful words that he commented on the hadith, لا تحقرن من المعروف شيئا. Don't belittle any good deed. ولو أن تلقى أخاك بوجه طلق. Even if it's meeting your brother with a smiling face, the hadith in Sahih Bukhari. Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar, when he commented on this hadith, he mentioned, and he said that, a person doesn't know which good deed, which little good deed can be the one that will put him into Jannah, or will be the reason for him to go to Jannah. And he doesn't know that one evil deed that might be the reason for him to go to Jahannam. And when we talk about deeds and going to Jannah, we don't mean that your deeds alone take you to Jannah, because ultimately you only go to Jannah by the mercy of Allah. But the deeds are the reason for gaining that mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah azza wa jalla promised, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ كَانَتْ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ نُزُلًا. Those people who believe and do good deeds, Allah is going to give them جَنَّاتُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ, the gardens of الْفِرْدَوْسِ نُزُلًا, as their place of stay, their place where they will, their abode. So we have to remember that your deeds alone don't get you Jannah, because you can't do enough good deeds to deserve Jannah, and you can't avoid enough sins to deserve Jannah, and you can't equate the blessings of Allah with enough good deeds to get Jannah. But what you can do is to do the good deeds that Allah has made the cause for His mercy, and promise the people who do them that they will have Jannatul Firdausi Nuzula. That's what Allah Azza wa Jalla made easy for us to mention, and Allah Azza wa Jalla knows best. Wassalatu wassalamu ala nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
Jazakumullah khairan for watching. Please subscribe, share, and you can visit muhammadtim.com.